Wrestling Soup is intended for a mature audience. We like to use naughty words.
Jesus, did you see those comments from Jim Cornette about Meatloaf?
No, I didn't. And I can only imagine what it is. And by the way, that has not been solidified yet or certified that he died from COVID. I'm hearing other things.
Right. Well, no, apparently he had some kind of underlying thing as well. Like he was battling something else. But it's just one of those cases where I think he did contract COVID and cause complications. That seems to be what it is. I think me and you've even talked about that before, too, is that COVID isn't necessarily the killer. COVID is the fucking complications. Like back in the day, you know, before COVID, it was like, oh, somebody had like cancer or something like that. And then as soon as they got pneumonia, everything went downhill fast, you know?
Yeah, of course. And also, you know, people forget he's 74. People think he's Meatloaf from 1978. You know, it's like, people, you know, because you post these classic pictures, you know, here's what he really is now, a little frail old man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, it reminds me when you're going to see wrestlers and they have the old, you know, 8.5 by 11s, like, you know, in their classic prime days. I mean, because that's the way people want to remember them.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, we're all programmed for that. Right.
Right.
Now, do you want an autograph picture now of Mel Gibson or do you want one from Lethal Weapon? Right, you know, right. So really, you know, you want Charlie's Angels, Jacqueline Smith in her prime and Charlie's Angels, or you want 75-year-old Jacqueline Smith? It's up to you.
This dude, you know? Steve Kelly, hit up Brian Last and Jim Cornette and a bunch of other people. And he said, you know, Meatloaf was an anti-vaccine mandate, reportedly seriously ill with COVID before his death. And then they linked to the New York Post, and Cornette responded, fuck. Remember when these rock stars were all the cool people? Now they've all become a bunch of conservative right-wing nut jobs. In the 70s and 80s, they were too busy having parties and getting massive amounts of pussy to be miserable. Now they couldn't get a date on a tombstone. I was like,
That's a real stupid thing to say. This is why, you know, again, I never got the whole divide your audience thing for a podcaster, which is the opposite of what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be grabbing listeners and related, being relatable to our audience. And when you isolate half, again, Jim Cornette didn't mind, though, all the conservative Republican Reagan money that was coming his way throughout the 1980s when he was at his best.
Right.
So I just think it's a hypocritical. And people change as they get older. No one has the same. Some people are staunch Republicans from the day they come out of the womb, and some people are liberal to the day they die. And then there's other people who just go a different way, or they see things differently. And definitely getting married and having kids get you in a different frame of mind. Sure. Some people become victim of crime, and then they become super pro-police when they were once anti-police. But then someone robbed their house and beat up their wife, and now they have a different take on it.
Right.
So again, it's all Jim Cornette never takes in consideration that there's time and circumstances for everything. He just thinks everybody is one way or this way, and his way is right. And Brian Last is kind of a bitch ass for never taking him on a challenge to it.
Yeah,
at least me and DT and you and Joe would have, and wouldn't be vicious, but we would have different forms of opinion, not just parrot everything the other co-host says. I mean, it's nonsense. Right.
Well, and that's the other thing, too, is I'm not disagreeing with this guy's opinion. Look, Jim Cornette has been a very verbose opinion maker for many, many, you know, years. It's just, I'm looking at it like, can we wait till the guy has his funeral before we start fucking trashing him? Like, that's my feeling on it. Look, your opinion is your own. Jim Cornette is known for being this wild fucking opinion. And if you took that away from him, I don't think you would be Jim Cornette. You don't want to dilute or PC Jim Cornette. And I understand that. But can there be a set of rules? Can there be a fucking line? Can we not do this until at least the body is in the ground? You know what I mean? I don't know. It's like, because right now, and I know there's a lot of people that just give zero fucks about Meatloaf, and I get that. But I mean, I don't even think that his family is reading Jim Cornette's tweets. So it's not even something
they
like
they
that.
They wouldn't even know who he was.
And but it's like, dude, there's still fans of Meatloaf that are also fans of Jim Cornette or fans of wrestling. It's like, I don't know. There just needs to be this, maybe this unspoken rule that give people at least a couple of days, give them a week. You know what I mean? Like, I just don't understand why people are so quick to just fucking start stabbing at the bodies. And not just Meatloaf, but other people too. We've seen it happen multiple times over social media. And I know social media is a cesspool. It's a fucking cancer. I get that. But when you're talking about professionals on the level of guys like Jim Cornette, you would think that there was some kind of unspoken morality or a fucking line you don't cross. And you would think that, you know, a funeral, wait till after the funeral before you start throwing it in there, you know?
I don't think you should even do that. I mean, you know, me and Carolyn have talked about it on the podcast. It's like, what is the point of going on social media? I think since day one, and I think the people who created it never thought that it would be a bastion for lost soul, fucked up people, families don't want anything to do with them. So they're like, go in your computer room and go fucking torture and terrorize other people because we're pretty much done with you.
Yeah.
So that's what it is. And it's, I think it was like social interaction, meet up with old friends, get together with old high school chums, have a reunion, have a FaceTime. I don't think anybody's goal was ever, you know, when a celebrity dies, now you have a place to badmouth them.
Right.
And everyone can see your venom for these people. I don't think that was ever the case. And it almost has been taken over by that sect of people. And people will say like it's a small sect. Well, you know, the real trolls and horrible people on here are very, very small. But they speak the loudest and they get the most publicity because when was the last time you quoted some beautiful quote that someone had? I noticed there was a lot of nice things said about Meatloaf too. Cher posted something very nice about him.
Yeah.
So it's like, but to get like Jim Cornette, you know, because I don't know if a lot of you guys know this. Any of you guys who are metal fans might know this. I've known this for a long time because Scott was going out with her like 20 years ago and then they got married. Scott Ian from Anthrax is Meatloaf's son-in-law. Did you know that?
No, I didn't really.
Yeah. Did anybody in the chat know that Scott Ian was Meatloaf's son-in-law from Anthrax?
No.
Yeah. He's married to his daughter Pearl for over 15 years. Wow. Yeah. We all knew that in the metal community because when Scott started dating, it was like, wow, Scott's dating Meatloaf's daughter. Because he's a New York, you know, an old school New Yorker from the metal scene and stuff. But yeah, so he's got a pretty famous son-in-law because Scott Ian's got a pretty, you know, big platform.
Right.
He's a pretty talkative guy and stuff. So if anybody was to come to Meatloaf's defense, it'd probably be Scott.
Right. But I'm just saying, like in general, and you're right about when you're talking about social media, when social media was designed, I don't think anybody thought of it as a way for people to record everything you say for the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. Because that's what's happening now. It's like, even if you delete stuff, even if you remove stuff off your Facebook or your Twitter, somebody saved it. Somebody saved every horrible thing you've ever said or done, you know? True. So it's almost kind of become like this weird index where people save the worst of other people's thoughts and vocalizations. And now it's become this great big fucking hammer that people use against each other if they ever try to do anything. So yeah, it's wild how it's turned out to be something completely different where it was supposed to bring us closer together. I think it's put us in more groups. You know what I mean? It's kind of separated us in another way, you know, because it's like either people agree with you via politic or people agree with you based upon religious or demographic or, you know, it's like there's all these new groupings now as opposed to bringing people to a commonality. It's now separated us further apart, but no, you were speaking of New Yorkers and metal guys. I checked out Cross's his fitness twitches that he's doing now. So he's got he's got like these little health and fitness twitches, and I caught the third one, and he had like a little extra on there and stuff like that too. And man, that's a fucking brilliant idea. I'm really glad that this guy is going out there and now he's on board. He's doing his own streaming thing. And he's not just being the typical video game guy. Don't get me wrong. I'm still watching him play Mass Effect and say horrible things and just be the absolute worst character he can be in the game. But it's nice. It's nice to see him doing other things and not just like a generic AMA thing, but he's kind of like becoming central to wanting to, you know, help people, you know, with their health and stuff like that. And I think that's such a good thing. Because, I mean, when you think of, like, for the most part, when you think of wrestlers, you think of people that are in shape, that have a workout regimen, that know how to, you know, get rid of the love handles or know the mentality that people need to be in. I mean, it started off with something as simple as a guy asking, how the fuck do I stop slouching? You know?
Yeah, that's true.
But it's a fucking brilliant goddamn question to ask somebody like that, because it's like, yeah, he's like, well, first thing you do is you got to realize why you're slouching. He's like, most of the time you're just looking at your phone and you have your phone down here because you're not going to have your phone in front of your face like an absolute psychopath. And I'm like, yeah, well, what the fuck, Cross? You're right. I always look at my phone down. I don't look at it in front of me. He's like, but you keep looking at your phone downward. Now your head is slouching. Now your shoulders are slouched forward. He's like, now that's become your habit to look at your phone like that. And now you got shit posture because of it. And I was like, oh, goddamn. Like, I mean, it's just simple things like that. I mean, you can talk further about what he was, you know, with health and fitness and stuff like that. But no, it's kind of cool. I kind of give a lot of respect to him for that. So, and he actually thanked me. He sent me a little GIF of the thank you.
Oh, nice. Yeah. He wanted to, when I was talking to him and he was talking about doing stuff like that with Twitch and everything, he's like, he's new to it. You know, he hopes it doesn't make it, like he was trying to figure out what a good concept would be. And we were talking about it. Me and you talked about that. You know, he's into metal. He's a tattoo enthusiast stuff. But he had even mentioned, he says, maybe I'll do something like with health and fitness because I'm on that, you know, that carnivore diet that really works for me. Maybe it'll work for other people. And, you know, different ways of health and fitness. He said, do you think people would be interested in that? And I'm like, yeah, I think – I said, wrestling fans? I said, wrestling fans are interested in anything that one of their favorites are going to – put out there on a platform. It could be anything. I just joking with him. I said, probably want to stay away from politics. He goes, oh, fuck yes. You will not hear anything said about politics on Twitch. He had said to me, I think people would be interested. I'm like, I think when they're interested in the wrestler, they're interested in anything you have to say. And he's really good about that. By the way, like one of the most disciplined people I've ever met when it came to stuff.
He sounds it too. Yeah. He sounds
super,
like he's
super disciplined. Like,
well,
I don't
know what that comes from. That comes from having like a life goal. Like you can tell a guy like Cross has a goal, whether it's spoken or unspoken. There is something that this guy is constantly going towards. I mean, even the way that he just discusses things on his streams, he's talking like a man with a purpose. So it's like you almost have more respect for that because whether it's WWE bound going back there or doing something in his own life like movies or whatever, there's things in his life that actually propel him. And the biggest problem with a lot of us is that we don't have those dreams. We don't have those goals, or the goals are very blurry. They're not as succinct as what he makes them to be. So like I said, I was just showing him a little bit of love because I'm like, dude, that's pretty fucking cool that he's doing that. And when you bring it up too, it's like, well, what are the things that wrestling fans are looking for from a guy like Cross? And physique has got to be number one. I mean, nobody's going to look at Cross and go, oh, what a lazy looking fat fuck. Like, it's just,
it was funny because at one point some people were saying he was fat, and even Chicky wrote up and says, how could you even insult a guy that way? And I think he thought it was funny too. He says, it was just a bad angle, a bad picture when he was wearing the costume. Yeah. And, he's super, super disciplined to the point of, again, that's just got to be something that's embedded in you. I don't know if you can just all of a sudden become, I think, you know, that starts out from a young age, being disciplined about, and even could have to do with the way he was raised. I mean, his dad was a corner man, for famous boxers. He was in the boxing profession. Yeah. That's why he knows a lot of those guys like, Thomas Hearns and Marvin Hagler. Marvin Hagler died last year. Roberto Duran, Sugar Ray Leonard, a lot of welterweights and cruiserweights. His father was involved in the boxing community. So, and you know, Mish, the training for boxers when they're training for a big fight, very disciplined.
Oh, yeah.
So maybe he learned it from that. I never asked him. I just assumed that's where he learned it from his dad being in the boxing profession for all those years.
Yeah. No, that would absolutely make sense. I mean, you know, good foundation, family foundation is obviously going to be those life lessons that take hold.
Wrestling Soup will be right back.
We are going into the Royal Rumble, and I know that there's going to be a million and one prediction shows this week, but this is the time that we want to hear Kevin Castle's predictions for the Royal Rumble. And we've kind of like, I mean, I'll sit there in the Discord chat and I'll joke with the boys and we'll try and fucking piece together some of the rumors, take a look at like who's actually going to be available, what kind of Royal Rumble it is. But first thoughts first, how are you feeling about this year's Royal Rumble, dude?
I always look forward to the Royal Rumble. It's my favorite pay-per-view out of the big four. Yeah. I mean, WrestleMania to me is always just, it's always up there. But Royal Rumble is always my favorite, just for the concept of it. I loved it since it was 88, since it first started. The Royal Rumble, so, you know, the matches, Rollins and Reigns and stuff, that's crucial and stuff. And I'm a little concerned that Rollins actually might unseat Reigns, which I don't want to see, but I wouldn't be surprised. But as far as the Royal Rumble itself, and even with the Women Rumble, I've enjoyed it the last few years. I look forward to it. It's going to be weird. I keep having to program myself saying it's on Saturday instead of Sunday.
Yeah.
So that's you know, I mean, now from what is it now? From now on, all the main pay-per-views are on Saturday nights? Shit.
I mean, that's a fucking amazing fucking change. I remember when I started talking about that with Joe, and he was like, really? Well, that's fucking fantastic. Because, I mean, who the hell wants to be up till 11 o'clock on a Sunday night when they have to go to work on Monday morning, you know? So the fact that they're starting to do this shit on Saturdays, and even with WrestleMania being teased for another two nights this year, and obviously longer than that with the Hall of Fame and the access and stuff, I'm okay with it. I like this Saturday show idea. It makes fucking sense. It makes it a highlight of your weekend, because now you go to the wrestling events, whichever one it might be. You fucking, you have a good time during the day. You go for the event at night. And on Sunday, you either pack up and fly back home, or you fucking lay in bed and recover, you know?
Yeah, that's true. I just got, you know, like anybody else, I got acclimated to the Sundays. And also a lot of Sundays, sometimes not a lot to do when there's not like a good game on, or, you know, it's not football season or baseball hasn't started yet. You know, Sundays is kind of a lackadaisical, lazy kind of day. So I always thought Sundays was a good time for pay-per-view. Saturday night's going to be a little more tricky for me, because most majority Saturday nights, with the exception of if there's a cancellation, I'll be working. Mm-hmm. So I'll have to watch it when I come home. I have to work this Saturday, so I'll watch it when I get home. I don't go to bed right away anyway, so I'll probably watch the whole thing till the wee hours of the morning.
So here's a couple of the matches. Just open it up. We got Edge and Beth Phoenix versus the Miz and Maurice in the mixed tag team match. Mm-hmm. What are you thinking?
Beth Phoenix, like last night, I probably could have got myself in a lot of trouble with what I thought about Beth Phoenix cosmetically looked like last night.
Yeah.
Wow. I'm going for Miz and Maurice because, as I said on Twitter, I just think they're a more likable couple, and people are like, that's a joke, right? I'm like, no, it's not a joke. I just like them better as a couple, and I just want to see them win. I'm not a Beth Phoenix fan, even less every time I see her, actually. Edge is one of my favorites, but I don't know, I want to see Miz and Maurice get, they lost to Cena, there's no reason for them to, if anything, Beth is supposed, you know, left NXT and is going to be home, you know, mom at home and stuff like that, so... if Maurice is going to be around longer, from what I understand she is, why not give the win to Miz and Maurice? I don't think Edge and Beth Phoenix need it. Beth Phoenix need it. So I'm going to go with Miz and Maurice. I think it makes more sense for them to win. It's too obvious for them.
Okay. I was going to say, even with the added like part of her promo, I think it was from last week's Raw, where she was talking about it's finally her chance to wrestle with her husband. And I kind of thought that was more of a plot point. It's like, yeah, this is your one chance to wrestle with your husband. It's like, I don't know if she can lose it then.
But. I think she can lose it. If anybody asks me what I don't like about Beth Phoenix, quite honestly, from cosmetically, just as a guy, I think she's too mannish, too mannish. Waist-wise, shoulder-wise, she's too mannish for me. I'm just not. And it's funny because, you know, Edge was always, you know, associated with Lita and all these different people over the years that he dated and stuff. I mean, they're a nice couple, and it's nothing against them personally. Just from like you asked me cosmetically,
sure.
Maurice all the way. Beth Phoenix is just too mannish for me. You know, when she took her shirt off, I was just like,
I think that's just the Canadian women, though, isn't it? Like, once you live up that far up north,
not sure. I mean, look at Trish. You know, Trish Stratus looks like a woman. You know?
Yeah, but she's up north.
Some of the guys in China kind of agree with me. Like, she looked very mannish.
Yeah.
Almost more mannish than what's her name, who's trying to look like an overblown lesbian, which is
Carmella.
Her the most beautiful. And that masking is so. That mask thing is a boner shrinker. Whew. That is horrible. Carmelo's mask. Oh, I hate that thing. What's her name? Rhea Ripley trying her hardest to convince everybody that she's Bulldog number one, but she's not. She's straight, lives with a guy. She's not gay, but she has that look. And I quite honestly, I think Rhea Ripley needs a makeover, a complete makeover. I think this look is just dead.
Well, the problem with it is they wanted to make Rhea look like a big punk, like a fucking Brit punk, which works. But the thing is she wears the same thing every fucking time you see her, which is like not punk. You know what I mean? Like punk would be going against traditions, going against norms. She should look completely different like every other fucking week. You know what I mean? So it's like,
it
blows out her character. And you're right. She kind of appears like the most mannish girl on the roster.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like to look and like, you know, she's this big towering, lumbering type of woman. But if you've seen pictures of Rhea Ripley before, she is very, very pretty.
Oh, yeah.
She is a very attractive woman. I'm not saying that. I'm saying she's trying to portray something she's not, mm-hmm. is what I'm saying. And I like Beth Phoenix, like as a person, a human being, Beth Phoenix is great. But I just, again, Cosmetica was just like, wow, you know, she just looks very, you know, bulked up and stuff. And for this one match, she's training like that. I mean, okay.
But doesn't that make you think that she might be there for more than one match?
I don't know. I still don't know. But I'm kind of glad kind of scrolled past me there. But someone just said in the chat that they were glad she was off announcing duties at NXT. Wasn't big on her myself as an announcer at NXT. I didn't care for her. I thought Renee Young did a better job when she was at NXT.
Wow. You know what? Here, let me throw out a little fucking fantasy prediction with the whole Beth thing. Okay. I'm wondering with the idea, and we'll get to the Royal Rumble in a second, but the idea that Ronda Rousey is probably one of the unnamed expectants of the Women's Royal Rumble this year. It's also been an idea that's been thrown around that Travis Brown might make an appearance. So now if you think about it,
really?
Having Travis and Ronda there for maybe a WrestleMania match against an Edge and Beth Phoenix or against a Miz and Maryse might be a possibility, because if you really want to think about it, you kind of kill two birds with one stone. Now you have this powerhouse like it couple that have the ability to draw casuals in, obviously seeing Ronda and Travis together. Then you have a match against somebody like an Edge and Beth Phoenix. And you wonder, is that something that could possibly be a Master Mania match?
Possibly. Possibly. Yeah, I mean, I know we'll probably get into it after we do Royal Rumble predictions, and it plays into it, but the Ronda Rousey announcement of her likely being there, maybe even winning the Rumble. I'm excited to see Ronda back. I mean, she bought a lot of...
Well, he's also... let me throw this out there, too. He's also in good graces with WWE, too, because didn't he come to the aid of Bret Hart? Was he like one of the first guys that came running out there to defend Bret Hart against that fucking psycho?
Yeah, he did. I mean, I don't know a lot about it. A lot of people seem to have a lot of heat for him, so to speak, because I think he was, what was he, charged with battery on the girl that he was with before? Before Ronda. Is anybody in the chat? Is that right? I don't know if he was he was accusations of him being abusive. Yeah, he was. Eddie was saying he was charged with that, and Ziggler fan saying,
right.
So yeah, I think there's people who don't, you know, forgive or forget that, especially in today's modern society of no forgiveness for anything, even if it dates back a decade or two decades. And I've seen him in interviews. They seem like a loving, nice couple together, but who knows how he is behind the scenes? And you know, nothing surprises me with anybody anymore. Anyway, I don't know a lot of about him, but you know, since he's married to her and he gets a little side deal. Does he have any really name value, though, that adds to it? See, I could see where wrestling fans would be upset with that. Like, who's this guy to come in here and get any kind of, you know, rub off of anybody? He's just Ronda's husband. He wasn't
he had an MMA career. Guy. He has his own fan base. I mean, obviously, Ronda's the star, let's be honest, between the two.
Yeah, of course.
But the idea of putting somebody like them together, and she's done a good job. They've done a good job of being that couple, as opposed to it's just Ronda doing her own thing and Travis doing his own thing. Like, you see them all the time together, which is a positive thing. And at the same time, it's like, I wonder if WWE sees something like that too as an idea or a way to get Ronda back in to say, hey, Ronda, why don't you bring your husband and we'll do a match at Mania? You know what I mean? Like,
it's
like
possible.
Total fantasy thing. I mean, there's rumors of Travis, there's been rumors of Ronda for a minute now, so there's no actual fucking concrete proof that Ronda's signed any kind of a contract, but it's just an idea that you can kind of see writing on the wall. If A happens, then B is a possibility, you know?
Of course, yeah. No, again, I'm for anybody who can add some sort of pop, or it's not even about ratings. I'm talking about pop as in a pop in interest and, this should be cool.
Yeah.
And that's what Rhonda brings to the table. I was very surprised to see the pushback on her coming. Oh, I'm going to come in and take a spot. She is not Goldberg. She was here. She helped that women's division tremendously. And people would say, well, it's kind of on its ass now. Well, maybe she'll help it get back off its ass. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I don't see anything as a detriment to her coming in at all. And
we don't know if she's been training. Yeah. I mean, look, it's been a while that she's been off TV, even after she hurt her hand and stuff like that. I mean, we don't know if she's been training. We don't know if she's been stepping into the ring and making sure that WrestleMania main event debacle never happens again. So,
It's true. And Lightning 116 is saying, take a spot from who? Lightning, that's what I said and challenged other even friend podcasters that we have. Like, well, who's she taking a spot from? Bianca Belair. No, she's not. We don't know what that's going to be. And even if it is a three-way dance at Mania with Bianca, Becky, and Ronda, I mean, so what? You know, I mean, they're only trying to add to the excitement. And again, Ronda was the reason. It wasn't the Bellas. It was Ronda, along with the Stashas and the Beckys and the Horsewomen, whatever you want to call them.
Right.
But Ronda spearheaded that shit a few years ago, and you can't take that away from her now just because you're not feeling her anymore. Or that was 3 years ago. She's yesterday's new. She's not even an MMA. She doesn't even fight anymore. What's her? She's always Mike Tyson doesn't fight anymore either, pretty much. And neither, you know, Evander Holyfield doesn't fight anymore. So that's a stupid thing to say. I was people trying to say she doesn't even can fight anymore on that kind of level in MMA.
That's nearsighted thinking.
She's always going to be famous. She's going to be that is? Forever.
That's nearsighted thinking. Those are fans that it's like, well, it doesn't appeal to me, so it doesn't appeal to anyone. It's
exactly. Like, nah. I speak for everybody.
Right. Right.
Okay.
Exactly. You have to look at the big picture. You have to look at Ronda Rousey's worth. You have to look at how much she's worth, not just for the MMA and not just for the history of her career, not even just for the mainstream, but look at what she's done with WWE. She wasn't an embarrassment. She fucking hyped up the women's division. She got a lot of people on board.
And she was good in the ring. I mean, remember that the tag match with her and Angle versus Triple H and Stephanie. I remember we did the dual podcast together, the two shows. We were blown away, every one of us. I think that was like all five of us were on for that episode. Now all five, Ronda Rousey was amazing. Like all, not one dispute or debate about it. Like she was just, we were blown away how good she was. Yeah. As blown away as we were of how good Bad Bunny was.
Yes.
Probably even more so. You know?
I thought it was kind of funny that they dropped his dates last night. Total side note.
He could be in the Royal Rumble. Yeah.
Yeah. He might be in the Royal Rumble. I'd like to see him come back and fucking slap Priest around or back into fucking, you know, into normal mode.
poor Damien. I don't know what's going on.
Don't either. And I really don't want to go down his thing because, I mean, me and DT were even talking about that last night. I look at him as a heel. I don't know. People are still saying he's a face. Yeah. What the fuck kind of baby face snaps and just starts taking out his opponents to the point of a DQ when he's winning the fight? You know, like it doesn't fucking make sense.
I think George the Animal Steel had that market cornered in the 80s.
Well, yeah, but he'd also play. But George Animal Steel was supposed to be a psychotic. Damian Priest wasn't supposed to be a psychotic. We saw him for months on end have a fucking fantastic relationship with Bad Bunny and the fans. And now all of a sudden he's got a problem. Now all of a sudden he's got issues. It's just really, I don't know, sus.
I don't think they just the classic case of not knowing what to do with this guy. But if you look at him and even his demeanor, and you've seen him, you've talked about it, he's a real nice guy, cool guy, and a good-looking guy. You know, the shape that he got himself into, the Damian Priest of 7 years ago, he looks like now, is like, talk about cross-reinventing himself. And Damian Priest is
there's a guy I want to see do a fucking fitness podcast, to be fair.
Yeah, I mean, Priest has it. He has the height, he has the size, he has the swagger, he has kind of that look, he has kind of, he's a charm and a mystery about him. He has everything, but the fans aren't sure about him. They're not, they're like, I want to root for him. He's wearing a title. He means something. I know he means something. I must think fans are having conversations in the audience. clap for Damian Priest. Clap for Damian Priest. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Like they're confused, but he's got he's got something. But typical WWE in the back, whether it's, you know, with Bruce or whoever the decision makers are, that, yeah, freak out and be like Jekyll and Hyde and just, I don't know how they thought that. I think they thought like when he hulked, maybe it's his way of hulking up, so to speak.
Yeah.
You know, that's really what he's doing. But the fans aren't into him like a Hogan when he starts shaking his Ultimate Warrior starts, you know, doing that weird motion around the ring, getting spastic and shaking the ropes. I think that's what it's a little bit of a bite off of that.
Yeah.
You know, like where you hulk up is the best way I could describe it. But they're not connected enough to Damian Priest yet to give him that support. When he's over, they'll pop big time for when he freaks out.
Yeah.
But right now it's tepid. It's like, he looks good, you know, like, but they don't know what to do. And I feel bad for him. And I don't think he's in danger again. Come, oh, next guy, next con's cut list. I'm like, no, they're not going to get rid of Damian Priest. He'll be okay.
Back onto the Royal Rumble topic. What do you think of Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins with the Usos band at ringside?
Well, it's going to, again, I wouldn't be shocked if Reigns lost. I would hate it because I really want to see him go even more the distance. And really, I want to see him break Bruno Sammartino's record, but I don't think that's going to happen. Mm. But Rollins has enough cred, so to speak, that people will cry about it to a degree. But I think he's, you look at that roster, unless there's a guy who has not yet been signed to NXT, and that's that guy who's going to beat Reigns 2-3 years down the line, is a Braun Breaker. I don't know, but the only guy on the roster right now with the cred, locker room cred, street cred, wrestling fan cred, is Seth Rollins. He's the only one. And if he doesn't beat him and Reigns beats him clean, I'm like, wow, I think Reigns is gonna be champion for a long, long time to come. Who's gonna beat him then?
I mean, they're already touting him as being this long-standing champion. Roman Reigns losing the title at Rumble would be a big fucking deal, dude.
It would be, and I agree with Lightning and some of the other people. I don't want to see Rollins win either. Rollins is an all-star, no doubt about it. He's great, a 5-tool player, so to speak. You know, he's got it all too. Yeah. And his new gimmick and the laugh, some people find it annoying. I actually kind of like his new bizarro, like weird laughing character. He's trying to be different. The one thing about Seth Rollins, though, if you notice, is he doesn't change the hair or the beard very much. He'll just slick it back. It's still pretty much the same hair, the same beard. He doesn't really alter his physical appearance too much. He'll change his ring attire.
Yeah.
But he won't commit to no beard or maybe just a goatee or a short haircut. He won't commit to that. He's still hanging on to the Seth Rollins stuff, just
wearing a fur his coat. Hogan's Friar tuck, you know?
Oh, yeah, exactly. You know, but then, you know, people can say, hey, look at Hogan. Hogan just changed colors pretty much. Ultimate Warrior changed colors of tassels. They kept the hair. Rollins, yeah, I don't know if I want to see Rollins cut his hair and clean shave. That would be too weird.
Yeah.
But again, I like that his character is kind of this And I'm not sure what he is right now because people are saying, well, clearly he's the babyface. Is he? I'm not sure. I mean, is that debatable even here in the chat or even with you, Mish? Who's the babyface might be Rollins, but who's the babyface with the fans? Who are the fans really going to back? Think the Reigns is going to get a bigger cheer reaction than Rollins?
Yeah, I think he'll get a bigger cheer reaction, but I think babyface and heel doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
And the only reason I'll say that is because these guys have history that go before their ethics, their morality. You know what I mean? Being a baby face or a heel can work with most matches. And I think that's, you know, predominantly the staple of how you book a good wrestling match. But this scenario, this is like a blood feud. They have a history. It doesn't matter who the good guy is or who the bad guy is. This is kind of like the way it was with Owens and Sami Zayn. Doesn't matter who the good guy is, who the bad guy is. These two people are going to go out there and kill each other. The Usos and the New Day. Doesn't matter who obviously the New Day is always the good guy, but it doesn't matter if they're both good guys or not. It's just one of those matches that you're watching for the match. And, you know, I think that's kind of the way I'm looking at it. But so, okay. So you're going to pick Reigns. Going back to the women, Becky Lynch and Doudrop.
Oh, jeez.
Mm.
It was interesting. I never really paid much attention to Doudrop talking before. I know she's cut promos in UK and stuff, but I never really paid attention. And she's a lot softer spoken than I thought she was.
Yeah.
You know, like when I started the promo and I was listening to her, I'm like, who's talking? And I turned around and look at my TV. I'm like, oh, that's Doudrop. I think it should be an interesting match. And it's interesting, me and you talked about it like that, you know, a couple months ago. If we were talking about Doudrop is on a major pay-per-view against Becky Lynch when she was Eva Marie's second, you know, 6 months ago. We'd have been like, what are you talking about? Dude, even the name Dewdrop is going to be against Becky Lynch in the Royal Rumble. Yeah. Now, we all would have lost that bet, right?
Right.
But now, you know, she's kind of built herself up in a few weeks, a few wins, and aggressively attacking Bianca Belair and going after people. And I'm surprised they're sticking with the name because it's kind of hard to take. That name is so awful.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's probably one of the worst names, you know, that I could think of on the roster that they changed.
Well, besides Gunther Stark.
Yeah, besides Gunther Stark. I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised if at the end, and I told you about this on a show probably last week, that there is some sort of mutual respect and Dewdrop maybe becomes Becky's second. Because even with Becky's gimmick and her what she's doing now, you would kind of think she would need a henchman or a henchwoman, so to speak.
Yeah.
So maybe she beats her and Becky has enough respect. They get up and hug and form an alliance, or someone comes in to attack and then Dewdrop helps Becky. I don't know. You know, I'm thinking maybe Becky beats her and then there's some sort of respect and an alliance is formed with Dewdrop because they're both heels. And where does Dewdrop go from here? I'm thinking she gets Becky's respect, but, you know, to a degree of a heel's respect. And they team up and then they become a thing.
That's, yeah, we did talk about that a little while ago about how they'd have a fight. And at the end of the fight, it'd be nice to see them either shake hands or some kind of, like, you know, just agreement to know, like, just the start of it, the breadcrumbs of, oh, okay, I got you. I understand you better now.
Yeah,
you know?
Similar background, right. Fellow country women, aren't they?
I mean, wouldn't that be cool if you actually ran into a situation, which we don't see these very much anymore in WWE, where somebody is actually getting pummeled and getting the shit kicked out of them, and somebody you don't expect comes down to the ring to save them, you know?
Yeah. I think that, yeah. I'm going to call something like that. Becky gets a win, but there is an alliance formed between the two of them thereafter.
Right.
And maybe that plays into Ronda Rousey, where Ronda's maybe got to go through the henchwoman Dewdrop, and Dewdrop gets kind of thrown between them as a tweener until they meet Becky and Ronda at Mania. Do you see something like that happening?
And Ziggler is right. Dewdrop is Scottish. Yes, I think we addressed that. Yeah, before. It's not a big deal. But they still have the commonality of how they fight.
Yeah, they have the commonality. Exactly. They have the commonality. They're both lasses.
Yes.
So there you go.
Yes. And then, of course, you got what's considered to be probably the main match, the main event match before the main event matches, which would be Brock Lesnar with Paul Heyman versus Bobby Lashley with MVP.
Everyone's looking forward to that. And I see that even being to a higher degree than Reigns versus Rollins. This is a great pay-per-view. I mean, really on paper and just, I think it's going to be, you know, I don't know if it'll be epic or it'll go down in history, but it could, depending on how everything comes together. WWE surprises us every now and then.
Yes.
You know, they really do. So, I'm kind of going back and forth on this because Brock is so getting the best of Bobby Lashley during these promo segments, and Brock is looking cooler and Lashley's kind of looking like a lost soul, like kind of not able to get one over on Brock. And who would ever think Brock can out promo anybody? Like, you would never think. Mm-hmm. But Lashley was never a strong talker. I wouldn't be shocked if Lashley won for there to be some kind of buzz. But then in turn, I can't see Reigns losing and Lesnar losing. I don't see that. So, you know, I'm just going to take a stab at it here. I'm going to go with Bobby Lashley winning. I'm just going to go with Lashley winning. I think, you know, Lesnar is here more full time now and more, but I think Lashley is more they have just as much invested in Lashley as a monster.
I got you.
I'm going to go with Lashley winning the title. I mean, I want Brock to win, but yeah, Lashley wins the belt. Yeah, I think there will be some fuckery, but I don't think it'll be Paul Heyman betrayal. I think that'll come down the line in some other angle.
The thing that DT brought up, and I'll throw this out to you, is he thinks that since the Usos are banned from Roman and Rollins' match, that the Usos are going to go out there and fuck with Brock. And then I also thought at that same point, in order to make sure that, you know, Bobby Lashley doesn't win, does the Hurt Business come out there and defend against the Usos or something like that? Is there like this weird kind of like two different teams going out there and for their own reasons fucking with each other in order to try and get Brock or Bobby to lose?
Yeah, possibly. And that would like make them look less weak if they eat a pin, you know what I mean? Cause they can't let end this in DQ or something like that. Yeah. I think, you know, there has to be major interference and just some sort of clusterfuck referee not even paying attention to what's going on, or some other referee jumps in, counts three. Yeah, there'll be some sort of fucked finish. It's not going to be like, wow, Lashley decisively beat Brock Lesnar. That's not going to happen. And same thing for Brock decisively beating Bobby Lashley, because it's not as other some people in our profession here would exactly, oh, it's over, buried. I don't think anybody's going to be buried. These are all top guys, and they're going to continue to be top guys through WrestleMania.
So we'll start with the men's Royal Rumble. Angelo Dawkins, Amantez Ford, Rey Mysterio, Dominic Mysterio, Austin Theory, Johnny Knoxville, Sheamus, Damian Priest, AJ Styles, Big E, Happy Corbin, Madcap Moss, Sami Zayn, Kofi Kingston, Kevin Owens, Omos, Randy Orton, Matt Riddle, Chad Gable, Otis, Dolph Ziggler, and Robert Roode are 21 of the 30 entrants announced as of today for the Royal Rumble. Any ideas from this list who you expect to win, or is it somebody, or who are some of the surprises you think might show up?
Right now, I wouldn't be shocked, and I don't think he's ready at all if Omos wins it.
He's my dark horse. Yeah,
is he your dark horse? He'll be my. I'll put him as my lead horse, and my dark horse right now would be Dominic Mysterio. Dominic Mysterio. I'm surprised he's still here. Omos was pretty much on my mind to win it. To win it all, they're going back to like the big man winning it, like John Studd won in '89. That didn't amount to anything. Stud didn't even last, a few months after that.
Right.
I don't think he's ready at all, but I just, the whole thing, who's going to get rid of, I mean, they can always, of course, 10-man
double. Well, do you think it'll be a team up on him and surprise entrance? I mean, like some of the names that have come up, obviously Cody Rhodes from B Sharp and other people have said, cause he's got that open handshake contract with Tony Khan. Goldberg is also expected to be a surprise entrant.
I think Goldberg and who's the other rumored?
Bray Wyatt has been.
Bray Wyatt is rumored.
Circled, right.
I wouldn't be shocked to see Bray Wyatt back. I wouldn't be that shocked. It would be interesting. I think people would freak out. Twitter would catch fire. I think, I don't think Bob Saget will be in it.
Oof.
But who else like is even out there? Because hasn't it been debunked already, the trade embargo with Impact, and Mickie James is just doing this to do it, and she just got permission to do it? There's no real trade embargo that no one's debunked that yet. The WWE's
I don't think they have
Impact, right? So debunked. I mean that if Mickie even brokered a deal, you know what? Let me take a stab in the dark. Nick Aldis makes it up.
I could see that. I was even bringing up guys like, why not Damian Sandow or Chris Masters from the NWA?
But I would say Nick Aldis, because he's high profile. It's Mickey's husband, and maybe even Bruce Pritchard and him had that beef a year and change ago where he insulted his wife, and they went back and forth, and maybe it's a good faith gesture. And I think, yes, a lot of people won't know who he is. And I'm not saying that sarcastically. It'll just be fact. In the mainstream, there'll be people, who's that? But half the fans would know who he was. And I think that would catch Twitter fire. So I would say Aldis, because he would be an NWA Impact guy that people would know. There's really nobody. I mean, going to another one, maybe Trevor Murdoch can make an appearance. Yeah, I would think that was great. I would think that was great.
You're listening to Wrestling Soup.
Well, let me throw out some of the names that are already chosen. I would expect, do you think these guys make it to the final six? Damian Priest, Big E, Randy Orton, Matt Riddle. Do you think these are guys that could be potential winners as well?
I'll go with Matt Riddle as my dark horse. That's the guy. I'm going to go with Matt Riddle as dark horse. Matt is really getting over. Last night, I mean, the crowd was on their feet for that whole segment. They did a great job. Randy's done a great job mentoring Matt Riddle.
Absolutely.
To RK-Bro is a total success story from a creative aspect.
Yeah.
Total success story.
Yeah, it's a Mick Foley rock.
Randy looks like he's having a great time. Randy's like Lesnar. Randy and Lesnar, two OVW graduates who look miserable for the longest time in WWE, look like they're having a ball.
Right.
Randy and Brock are like rejuvenated. Like, I don't know if they drink it well, from the same well.
Before. You know? I mean, look how bad Kane was in that state there until they finally decided to put him with Daniel Bryan.
Kane looked miserable.
Oh, he hated it.
Walking down the ring, and the mask was half off. The hair wasn't even. Jesus, poor Kane. He looked miserable.
But yeah, they put him with Daniel Bryan, and they got him that Dr. Shelby, and that Team Hell No shit really took to fuck
off. It did, and maybe Matt, you know, as some people would find hanging out with a guy like Matt to be kind of insufferable. I mean, even though I think we all have a stoner friend or a cousin or a brother who acts like who's bro and dude and stuff, we all know a guy like that. And we either love him for being that guy or this guy. I take him in small doses.
Right.
But I think Randy really likes being around him. And I've even heard from Cross that Matt Riddle is a really cool guy, very nice guy, very helpful. To the NXT talent, would come down there on his own time and talk to the guys. So it doesn't surprise me. He's helping out.
He did that stuff with MGK too.
Matt Riddle, I think maybe they're like, you know what, this guy, he's going to get the gas behind him. We're going to push this guy. He's for real. The crowd loves him. He's got it. He's getting better and better. There's no shyness about him on the mic at all. He doesn't mind making a fool out of himself. He doesn't mind being that guy. And that's what the company's probably looking for. So I'm going to go with almost as my lead guy to win the Rumble and Matt Riddle as a dark horse.
So for the Women's Rumble, we've got Rhea Ripley, Nikki A.S.H., Dana Brooke, Carmella, Queen Zelina, Tamina, Shotzi Blackheart, Natalya, Aaliyah, Naomi, Aaliyah, that gimmick, Jesus Christ, Shayna Baszler, Charlotte Flair, Nikki Bella, Brie Bella, Lita, Michelle McCool, Kelly Kelly, Summer Rae, Mickey James, Bianca Belair, and Liv Morgan.
Summer Rae is going to win it all. She's going to win. Yeah. By the way, can I just say this? When did everybody become a Summer Rae fan? What was that the other day online? What was that?
I don't know, man.
Never was utilized. She was so much more than Fandango's dance partner. What the hell is going on over there? I mean, come on, guys. Stop it. You know, I understand she's hot. She looks good. Got a nose job. And then she's going back. I wouldn't.
And she does. And she should. You know what? And people should be happy that she's done well for herself. But let's not fucking start, you know, rewriting WWE's history for them. You know?
She was kept down. Oh, stop it. Oh, good. Summer Rae. She's lucky she was there as long as she was. My God. But when I saw that, and some people, I almost want to unfollow because I saw them kissing her ass on that. Jesus Christ, the ass kissing going on Summer Rae. You were so good. Don't let these type of guys keep you down. I'm like, oh, God, stop it. Get your nose out of her asshole. Good Lord. You know?
A lot of great ideas. Who are some of the girls that you'd like to make surprise?
I'm glad to see Shotzi's been found. I mean, maybe she was hanging out with Xia Li, who I love.
Yeah.
And I was so glad to see Xia Li was found recently. I'm going down the list and the line there, and I'm just trying to think. Here's the obvious is what I'm thinking, which probably I don't know if you're thinking. I didn't hear your opinion on it yet, but maybe some people in the chat room. With the talk of Ronda Rousey entering and winning the Royal Rumble is my first thought.
Okay,
absolutely. My dark horse would be. Let me really think about this.
Let me throw out some other idea names. So, Asuka. Her time for injury is up. Bailey's time for injury is up. Okay. So they might be making their returns. Well, Sasha is also apparently, you know, a potential. Who else do we have on there as far as women go? Yeah, people say that they want Victoria. Victoria is a good name to throw out there. Let's also not forget that a bunch of the NXT girls might be coming up, like a Dakota Kai or an Io Shirai.
I heard
Raquel Gonzalez.
Raquel will probably most likely be in it. Yeah,
right. So, I mean, Lightning, I agree that I'm not really sure, but apparently her timing, what the time allotted for her injury is apparently up soon. So if she's been rehabbing well, if she's rehabbed from her injuries well, then she should be back. She could be back, but you're right. I'm not 100%. That's why I'm just saying these are just names that we could possibly throw out there. I mean, even Ronda Rousey, as much as people are expecting her to show up, it's still not a definite thing. Nothing's been put on screen. Nothing's been official by WWE. So until the Rumble happens or Friday, we won't have any idea.
someone had asked me the other day if the Lita thing, if you know, there's got to be more to it than just her having that little bullshit interaction with Charlotte Flair for the Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if they're going to want to push someone that kind of blows up on Mickie James, who's like 7 years younger than Lita, like of why they got rid of her. But Trish? Yeah, I'm going to go with Rhea Ripley. Rhea Ripley. Ronda Rousey.
Oh, okay.
Ronda Rousey. You can see the confusion there. I'm going to go with Ronda Rousey to enter and win the Royal Rumble.
Tamina's your dark horse.
If Tamina could actually care enough to get some wrestling gear and not wear her street clothes into the ring, then Tamina, we need you. I'm at the store. Just, you know, drop everything. Just get to the ring. Yes. But I'm wearing my workout clothes. That's all right. Bailey, if she enters it, but if not, and Bailey doesn't make it in time, I'll go with I know it's not going to happen, but I'd like to see Xia Li win it, but it's not going to happen. I'll just say something crazy and go with Xia Li, because you never know. WWE does crazy things.
Sure. No, absolutely.
The protector wins.
Right. Right.
How about you? What's your picks for the women? Do you believe Ronda Rousey will enter the Royal Rumble?
I mean, if Ronda does come back, I could see them making the argument that Ronda winning the Royal Rumble is the best thing. It would make sense. If that's the case, I'll go with Ronda. I would like to see Asuka fucking come back and win it.
That's a good possibility too.
But yeah, I know I'm saying that as a fan and not looking at it from the business side. From the business side, Asuka's not going to be the one that they're going to build a program around. I'd like to believe that WWE sees the value in Asuka like I do, but I think I'm a very small voice in that, because I would also like to see Io Shirai finally get some fucking serious love and her to be the breakout star from NXT coming up into the Royal Rumble. But once again, I'm saying this from the fan side of things. Business-wise, how do you bet against Ronda Rousey? Now, other ideas, you know, as far as the dark horse stuff goes, I really think that this year's Royal Rumble, both of them, the men and the women, are going to be retro as fuck, because they just dropped almost 100 fucking people last year from their roster. They have the cap room to bring in special guests to get the crowd on their feet. And the Royal Rumble is one of those examples where WWE can play with the fans and bring back people for the good feels, you know? I would like to see somebody like Kong. Fucking Kong to make. Yeah, I know she's retired, but she's not retired in WWE. And I would like to see her come back for, what, a little stint in a Royal Rumble? I mean, you know what I mean? It's not like we're saying, oh, well, let's build an entire program around Kong for WrestleMania. I'm not thinking that at all. But just to have a girl come out there for a few minutes and flex and give everybody the feels of seeing fucking Kong back in there, maybe even have Kong come out there after the Bellas are in the ring just to bring back that for a half a second, you know?
Yeah, and I think, you know, a lot of people are going with another thing that's apparent and obvious to people, which is Bianca Belair winning twice in a row, and why the announcers bringing it up, that she could be the first woman to wear. They brought it up the last couple of weeks when she was on TV. She could be the first woman to win 2 years in a row, never done before.
Yeah.
That doesn't necessarily mean anything. They're not, you know, putting their little Easter eggs there or being cryptic where, oh, see, there's a little clue. Not necessarily. The announcers have said things and alluded to things before that never came to fruition.
Sure.
But yeah, Bianca winning, I don't know. I just, you know, I think ultimately in WrestleMania, I think it can end up being a three, even though they always wanted that Becky one-on-one match with Ronda. Maybe because Ronda has been out for almost 2 years, had the kid and stuff, they got to have more of a little bit of lack of faith where they pepper in Bianca Belair and make it a three-way women's thing like they did with Charlotte Flair a few years ago. I'm not sure. I'm just speculating. Until they see, I'm sure they've sought her in training if she is ring ready. I'm sure WWE's not stupid. I'm sure they had a guy down there checking out, you know, how her training is going, how she bounced back from the baby and everything. But Becky Lynch bounced back quite fine and actually looks thinner and more in shape than ever.
Sure.
And Ronda Rousey is a professionally trained athlete who dieted and did all sorts of things for fights on regular. So Becky did it. Sure, Ronda can do it. You know, if anything, they're kind of you know, on the same level when you think about it. Both, you know, went away for a while, had a baby, had their first kid around the same age. A lot of parallels there, don't you think so much?
Do you think Lacey Evans might be one of those dark horses too?
Lacey Evans could come in and win it all. There's no
I mean,
I forgot all about Lacey. I'll be honest with you guys. I forgot Lacey Evans was still here.
Yeah.
I mean, she's, yeah, I mean, I know they're not going to let her go being pregnant. That's a,
I love Lacey Evans. The fact that she's also another one. She's been off. She's been a mother. You know, she adds that to her SWAT team and her military background now. So, you know, like Lacey Evans could be another one of those dark horses that, you know, we just haven't seen in a while. It would be interesting.
I haven't seen any recent pictures. Anybody have a picture they can even post in the chat of Lacey Evans, what she looks like currently?
And recently?
What did she have? She had a baby a few months. Was it months ago? Like, as in a while ago? Or she recently had the kid?
I think it's a little bit longer than that.
Was it? When did Lacey, did anybody know when Lacey had the baby? Was it a year? Lacey had the baby a year ago? Yeah. She's gone that long?
Yeah.
Wow. Time goes by fast, man, with these pregnancies. It goes by really fast.
Stop having babies so fast.
Lacey should come back as an Iraqi sympathizer. Should she come back like, I want my country back. There was Sergeant Slaughter. That would be awesome. Lacey comes in as Adnan LKC. Wow, that would be funny. Oh, I know they can't do that today, but boy, would that be awesome.
Well, and I mean, at least Ric Flair isn't around, so she doesn't have to make out with him anymore, you know.
Oh, good. Yeah. I invented the make out on television. That was mine. I created that.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? I didn't even say this about the men's. Any ideas if the rumors of Drew McIntyre's injury are exaggerated and he's going to be in the Royal Rumble?
Yeah, he's always kind of in the mix, isn't he? I'm kind of excluding him because I kind of forgot. Possibly. I mean, the great thing about Royal Rumble is you don't know. It's exciting. That's why, you know, I look forward to it. What's going to suck for me, it's going to be hard to stay away from hearing the results because people at the show, and I'm working with people who are diehard wrestling fans too, and I know they're going to like, hey, did you hear what happened?
Yeah.
There's no way I'm going to avoid it. So I'll probably know the results that night and go into watching it already knowing what's going to happen, but I still find it exciting. I've given up on that trying to avoid spoilers thing, and it happens, and I know what's going to happen. I know it.
Yeah. And there's some
there's Lacey.
Yeah, she's looking good. It doesn't surprise me that she's keeping up a workout regiment. I mean, she was always kind of active.
Yeah.
Well, not even just that. I think in normal life, even if she wasn't in WWE, she still has that SWAT team training, that military training. It's probably built into her. It's kind of like the same thing that we were talking about earlier with Cross. It's just how she was raised to be. You know, she doesn't seem like a person that's going to sit on her ass and look like that fucking girl from Squidbillies or nothing anytime soon.
Squidbillies.
Yeah. So,
you know, could she be a factor, though? Did she leave with enough cachet and enough of a name that when she comes back, it's like, holy shit, it's Lacey Evans? Or will it just be like, oh, Lacey Evans is back?
Yeah. I don't know.
I guess we'll see. Yeah. Well, that's, again, the Royal Rumble is exciting for those aspects that
you don't know,
especially with like what naming 21 or something. People, there's so many spots left that there could be those surprises.
Didn't get a chance to talk to you though on a completely different topic. Moxley returning on AEW Dynamite. On his promo coming back, and also with the fan bullshit, the fan said, "Have a drink and get this trash out of the ring," and he told him to go fuck himself.
That was horrible.
Yeah, but I mean, how did you feel seeing Moxley return, man?
I could say this: I mean, the pictures and of him before and after, are night and day. He looked before he left; he was bloated and red all the time. He was like, I was even saying to myself, "Is he sunburned?" He was always red.
Yeah.
And like red in the face, red on his arms. He was like a reddish, like a pinkish red.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone's like, well, you know, hey, you work in the bar business. And you see people who drink too much look like that. Yeah, I have. And I knew that that's what it was from. It was from drinking. And his coloring and everything came back into shape. And he looked a lot better.
Yeah.
I'm not the biggest Jon Moxley fan. I always find his swagger and the way he walks around the ring to be cringy because I just don't buy him as a tough guy at all.
Right.
You know, legit or even a work. I just kind of look at him like, eh, like the way he kind of saunters around the ring. I'm like, I don't know. Austin does a lot better. And even other, you know, guys who are, legitimate tough guy. I just don't buy Moxley's a tough guy.
Right.
Just because you're crazy doesn't mean you're tough. Mick Foley's not a tough guy. He's a tough man to take punishment, but he's not a badass.
Right.
There's a difference. You know, Ken Shamrock and Mick Foley are two different characters. So I never really get what Moxley's character is. I know he likes – that's the one thing I'll agree with Cornette about and Brian Last, that he kind of downgrades himself, I think, too much for a guy who's supposed to be a top guy showing up at that garbage show, GCW crap, which I saw, which was garbage. And most podcasts have said it was too. So
yeah.
It's not like I'm saying anything inflammatory, shocking. Like I'm on the same train as everybody else because I have eyes and ears. I said Herb Abrams is looking down laughing right now. Herb Abrams is like, I could do that better. I did that better. And I think Moxley downgrades himself. You know, if he wants to be a top guy, act like a top guy. Don't make appearances at these bullshit places. Some people find that admirable. No, Kev, it's showing he's one of the man of the streets. No, it doesn't. He's just downgrading himself because he has a fascination with garbage wrestling. I agree with Cornette on that.
Well, with all the announcements.
But I thought he looked good. And, you know, listen, he's a top guy there. He's perceived as a top guy. Now he looks like a top guy again. He didn't look like one on his way out. He was looking pretty bad. I'm glad he did what he, you know, he had to go through what he went through. God, I dozens and dozens of people I know who went to rehab for alcohol as much as I know anybody who went to rehab for drugs.
Sure.
You know, more so for alcohol, especially being the barbers. I work with staffers who had alcohol addiction. You know, that's why I'm kind of glad I never had a thing for drinking. You know, I just never had the palate for it. It's not a judgment call or anything. I just don't like the taste of alcohol.
Right.
So it never appealed to me. But I've seen people struggle with and suffer. It's just as bad as any drug. So, and I don't get into another obvious probably question that'll be brought up, and especially with our history with that idiot, Bubba Ray. I didn't think John Moxley owed the fans any kind of apology for anything. And I think, I don't also know if he's going to be their world champion again. You know, I don't know where he goes from here, John Moxley. You know, I'm not sure. Isn't there like a line long of people, Wardlow's up and coming and MJF? I mean, they want to pepper Moxley in there again? I mean, you know, I know he's going to feud with Daniel Bryan, which I think is a great feud. And Bryan's going to be the heel, right?
Yeah. But yeah. I mean, I can also see the effect of it's a fucking rags to riches story. It's a comeback story. You know what I mean? Now you have Moxley back in AEW. He's recovered. He's doing well. You know what I mean? And I'm not necessarily saying that Moxley deserves to take the title away from somebody in that picture. But I mean, if you're a company that is in dire need of positive attention, no matter where you can get it from, why wouldn't you think that Tony Khan and the powers that be would look at a story like Moxley, a guy who's been down at the worst, not just in the wrestling ring, but in real life, to finally make his way back up to the top? You know, it just hits me as like, oh, wow, look, see, AEW gave this guy a second chance and now he's shining. He came from being an alcoholic and, you know, like, and I see that. And I know a lot of people don't look at AEW and the way that they handle their media in the same way. But whew, Tony Khan loves a good story, especially anything that talks about how positive AEW is to the fans, to its employees, anything that makes Tony Khan and AEW look good in a positive light. And I see a guy like Moxley, which I'm happy that he's back and I'm happy that he looks a million times better, but I can see that being an exploitation of AEW.
Well, except for that one fan who, what did he yell at Moxley?
Go have a drink. What did he say? Oh, fuck.
What did the guy say? Like, get the garbage out of
here? Yeah, go have a drink and get the garbage out of the ring. Yeah.
And then that's when he said, he told him, fuck you.
Yeah, go fuck yourself. Get that piece of trash out of here or some shit like that. And it's like, good for him, you know? Like, he should be proud of going through rehab and making it. And the last thing you want is some fucking nobody coming out of anywhere telling you that, you know, your journey, you know, you dealing with this difficult thing is a nothing. Like, it's, I get it. I totally get his response, and it's the correct response to have to somebody like that.
Well, did Brian Cage apologize for saying that to him?
Did Ric Flair apologize, Kev? Oh, Jesus.
Oh, up and someone's like, yeah, I think people were saying, oh, did that guy get thrown out? I don't know if he got thrown out. Was there even a camera on that guy?
I don't know. Dude, I saw like literally 15 accounts online all taking credit for it saying, I didn't say that. I'm like, get the fuck out of here. You weren't even there. You and your two followers. Fuck. Fucking asshole.
You know? I just never seen too many shot callers who have two followers, picture, and from parts unknown. I've never seen that.
Exactly. So, dude, but on the other hand, and I got to bring this up too, obviously it's happened a few times with the Roman Reigns and the Seth promos going back and forth. A lot of references to the Shield, a lot of references to Dean Ambrose. You think that there's any possibility or any chance that something is going to involve John Moxley? Actually, Seth even called him Mox as opposed to calling him Dean Ambrose. Any idea, any chance that there's some type of a crossover with this? Or is this just them using his name in order to familiarize people with the Shield again?
Yeah, I think it's a Shield familiar situation kind of thing, like to – I don't know why they'd have to remind fans of a group that was together for, 7 years or 8 years on and off?
Yeah.
I mean, they were here for a better part of a decade together, even whether it was together or individually. The Shield, it was always brought up every 5 minutes. How would you forget? I can understand forgetting Santino Morello or Kozlov, but how would you forget Moxley
was here? Right.
You think they're in the back going, I think they remember there was another guy in the Shield, you know, Dean Ambrose. What do we call him? Dean Ambrose? God, I just, you know, out of sight, out of mind, I get, but I think wrestling fans can, you know, have their memory banks can't be that shot.
Right.
But it's just, the casuals. I'm like, God, come on. Even though a casual fan knows who top players are.
Right.
You know, you don't forget who Tom Seaver was because he didn't pitch on the Mets in 35 years. You know, I mean, being away for a couple of years or even a cup of coffee, you should totally retain your memories of this guy if you were watching the product for all these years.
Sure.
But so I think it's WWE just thinks the fans are stupid, I guess.
Yeah. I always wonder if it's some kind of like, I don't know, patent trademark issue using somebody's name while they're no longer with the company. Do they get some kind of royalty kickback every time you even whisper their name on television? Like, I'm not even sure how that works, you know, because I know that if you put them in a documentary or one of those like WWE specials, they absolutely get a kickback. You use somebody that's no longer with the company, they get paid for that, you know?
No doubt. I mean, say Nick in the chat is saying they don't think fans can remember something from 5 minutes ago, much less, you know, years ago. I agree, and I don't understand that. Especially since we're always told the wrestling fans are such the most diehard, dedicated fan, right? Like that's the rumor on the street about us as fans is we're diehard and dedicated, and also that we're insane and insufferable. But that's, you know, I think we're on the better part of that conversation. Unfortunately, the other half of the wrestling sect is on the insane spectrum, literally. I don't think wrestling fans are so knowledgeable about who's here, when they left. I'm sure there's people who can tell us the pinpoint day and minute that Dean Ambrose's contract expired. I couldn't tell you.
How many times yesterday alone did fucking Corey Graves say, Royal Rumble's in St. Louis, Missouri. It's in Missouri, everybody. It's in Missouri. Did you know that it's in Missouri this year? I get it. Holy shit.
By the way, I thought it was funny, and I just laughed to myself because I was like, oh, God, they're going to take him to task over that. But he was obviously being sarcastic when Corey Graves, Carmella came out, and he goes, the most beautiful woman in WWE, and he goes, standing ovation. Look at this, standing ovation for Carmella. I'm like, what is he talking about? And then what's Brian Saxon goes, no one's standing for her. He goes, I'm standing. So I thought that was pretty fun. I was like, oh, my God, he's going to get taken to task saying that. But it was obviously in sarcasm.
I'm glad. I'm glad that he's fucking rolling with it, too. Actually, it was kind of wild on his show. What's it called? Between Us or whatever, with him and I'm sorry. I don't even mean to be ignorant about it, but his show that he has with Carmella, she came out and she got the COVID. She got the fucking COVID.
She got COVID. That's
why
she was
gone. So that's why she was gone for a minute and stuff like that. She's obviously better now, but yeah.
Yeah, I've listened to this show. I've watched it. I've had interactions on Twitter with Corey Graves, and he responded to me, and he was cool. You know, even one time I took him to task and he was still cool about it. I'm not, you know, they're okay. I mean, you know, to me, you know, a lot of people didn't like them getting together and stuff because the way it happened, but they're past that now. And, I think they're kind of a cool couple to a degree, but I'm more, I like him better than I like her.
I'm not a big
Carmella guy. you know, I just, to me, I think she's kind of, quite honestly, a mediocre talent, you know?
And mediocre that, and again, that is really being nice, because.
Yeah, mediocre might be too nice. And the whole beautiful woman in the WWE thing. I mean,
but that's maybe just him fucking taking shots at people losing their minds about, you know, the comments that he had about Dana Brooke. And it's like, ugh, whatever.
Imagine Dana Brooke wins the Royal Rumble.
Oh, I'm just turning it off at that point. If that's the opener and Dana Brooke wins, I'm just turning the shit off.
How coming out with that 24/7 title? Oh. It's just like you shake your head. You're like, they just wanted to give her something.
Oh, I didn't even think about that. Yeah, Reggie might be in the fucking Royal Rumble too.
Oh, Reggie? Yeah, Reggie.
Maybe doing the Kofi spot, doing some wacky. Look, he's walking on the border, the wall, you know? Like, he's not going to hit the floor. He's going to jump from the ring to the outside and, whoop, can't knock me off.
And it's funny because I always thought that WWE doesn't like flippies, and that's why Ricochet is downtrodden in this company.
Oh, but he's like super flippy though. Like he's like
flippy. He likes the old, like I think Vince likes the real trickster flippies, like the ones who can just do these like almost like circus acts, literally.
Right.
You know, but yeah, I don't know. I guess they just like and again, there is something to being said about just being liked in the back.
That would be great, though. Now that I'm thinking about it, I want my fantasy moment. Instead of Kofi doing the big fucking Royal Rumble spot this year, I want Reggie to do it. I want Reggie to be standing on the fans banister, like the ringside banister on the outside. Mm-hmm. And I want somebody like Otis to pick somebody up and just throw them at Reggie and knock him off the fucking...
I want to see Reggie like head step and climb across the heads of all the fans in the front row.
Like literally. Crocodile Dundee 2 or
whatever. Yeah, like Crocodile Dundee, the way he stepped over all the fucking crocodiles. I want to see him just
step on everyone's head. No, he was stepping on the people's heads in the New York subway.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Yeah, that's right. He did do that. Almost like Pitfall Harry jumping over the crocodile on the crocodile's heads.
Oh,
but,
my God.
Yeah, that would be funny if he, like, of course, that would have to be plants. But no, even if, like, he just comes out. Yeah, there's got to be some highlight, but isn't Kofi in the Royal Rumble? Yeah, so isn't Kofi gets that spot, doesn't he?
Well, maybe they'll both do it. Maybe they'll both fight on the outside of the ring where nobody else can fucking touch them.
Any of you guys do the same thing like I do, like cynically want Kofi to fall and then like fuck up the whole thing? I've always wanted that to happen. I'll be honest with that. I want to see him slip and then ruin the whole thing. It would be awesome.
He's walking across the floor on one hand and he just falls. Yeah.
Who's the little spider monkey cute chick from NXT? She just reminds me of a spider monkey. Not really physically.
The one with Diamond Mind? Or
No. The one, Casey. You want to use the banger
girl. The fucking Avril Lavigne looking girl.
Yeah, she's cute, but she's got like no ass. She's like a little spider monkey, like the way she climbed up. She had a Royal Rumble highlight a couple of years ago. Yeah. Casey.
What do you think about AJ Lee making an appearance?
I don't see that. I just don't see that.
I mean, the WOW contract isn't probably locked down because
they already have AJ Lee part two, Cora Jade.
No, so I get that. AJ but Lee I mean, it's a retro moment. It's like, once again, like you were saying, people don't just forget some of these people. Paige is another one. Obviously, there was that big rumor with Paige coming back to the ring, and she's like, no, I'm definitely not in the Royal Rumble. Wink, wink, nod, nod. What about Paige fucking coming out there and winning it?
Possibly. I mean, you know, I'm thinking about the NXT women's roster.
Oh, Mandy and Toxic Attraction.
Toxic Attraction. Yeah, I was saying that I'm missing somebody major from NXT. Thank you for that. I was just thinking, so I was on the top. I'm like, who am I? I'm missing somebody major here. Oh, yeah, the NXT women's champion, Mandy Rose.
Yeah.
I love Mandy Rose. I think she's great, you know, but. Is it really working? I think it is as her as the leader, but maybe she shouldn't be the world champion. Maybe that's the problem. Yeah. Her as the leader of Toxic Attraction is fine, but I guess, you know, with the belt, it makes it more they're the girls to beat, the tag team champions. I get it, why they decorated them with the titles. And after I've seen the recent pictures of Gigi Dolin in the pool, I'm a huge Gigi Dolin fan. Jesus Christ.
She's absolutely fucking, she's
good. Yeah, she's all woman.
She's good. She's fine. She's a lot more bottom heavy than I thought, though.
She is a lot more bottom heavy. Yeah. She's got like a J-Lo thing going on there. Bit. I never noticed that before. Yeah. Got lucky Darby Allin for the brief period he had her as his wife.
Fucking B sharp. Jesus Christ, bro. Hope everybody enjoyed the show. Much love, Kev, for fucking joining up.
Of course. Yeah, great time.
Yeah, this is going to be a fucking good Royal Rumble. I feels it in my bones.
Yeah, you guys doing, you and Joe doing the Saturday night afterward thing live?
Or? We're definitely going to be doing that. Obviously, we're going to have the open lines. If you're around, you're more than welcome to come on, of course. I know we're also going to have Andrew Carluck on, too, from False Count Radio, you know, old school wrestling soup dude. He's going to be live at the event, so...
He's going to be there.
Yeah, he's going to be in St. Louis. So he'll probably call in, maybe let us know, you know, shit we didn't see on the old television. Kind of looking forward to seeing what, you know, he sees from the fans or maybe some fuck ups or who knows what.
Well, yeah, I'm going to be working till 2 a.m. So I probably won't be able to call in or anything. But I'll obviously next week at this time, I will be able to. And there's always Royal Rumble fallout and stuff. So sure. I'll give my thoughts on it next Tuesday when we do our next show. And again, like I said, there could be breaking news and then the Raw that night. So it's kind of good. That's why I always like this Tuesday show, because things are breaking and anything can happen on Sunday, Monday.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. So go ahead and give your plugs, bud.
Castle Chronicles. Well, KNT Chronicles, and I believe pretty sure of it, the return of Trez. After about 2 months, she's been out, but she'll most likely be joining me for KNT Chronicles on the DTKC Patreon. 10 o'clock live Discord chat. You can still sign up today if you listen to this. Haven't signed up or you dipped out and want to come back for a little while. Yeah, Trez should be back on Thursday, so it should be a lot of fun. Catch up with her. Awesome. In the mainstream on iHeart Speaker, Podcast Adventures with Baseball Chicky. Got a new episode dropping anytime now. We go over all the recent celebrity deaths with Meatloaf and Louis Anderson and all things that have been going on recently in the news and what's going on in New York and our new mayor and all different things that are going on here in the area and, you know, national news and local news and stuff. So we had a good conversation yesterday.
Yeah.
And we got into we did a Bill Murray thing last week, so we were talking about fears and phobias because of the What About Bob movie, and we kind of give our own fears and phobias. So it would be interesting to hear some stuff maybe you haven't heard before about me. So
very good.
Check it out. Yeah.
Much love to everyone. Joe and I might be doing a Frank and Customer. I believe we will. And, of course, obviously Wrestling Soup on Thursday, which will probably be the official prediction show with myself and Joe. And then, of course, Saturday post-show for the Royal Rumble. And everything else is on patreon.com/wrestlingsoup. Join up or, you know, don't.
Join up or don't.
Yeah. All right, everybody. Much love. Peace.
Peace.